Good morning. Thanks for coming out today. Can we just all say it's hot out there? And I thank you for all you guys that are helping pay for this $10,000 air conditioner. I appreciate that so much. But all those people that like to live strictly by the New Testament times where there was no air conditioner, they can just keep that, because that's one part of the Bible that I'd like to live with the new times, don't you? But it's good. So thanks for coming out and worshiping with us this morning. I got to be honest with you, I've been drained this week. Tired. Anyone else tired? I put all these things down on a piece of paper that I want to do, and I don't get any of them done. And I go outside and I sweat. I go back in to get in the swimming pool, and I don't get anything done. But Ching and I did get a chance to go down to Elizabethtown. Anybody been down there? To the E restaurant. I haven't been there for probably 10 years. And it's the best catfish around. You can see every once in a while, you can see the boats come in, and they'll actually buy fish off the fishermen, and they'll cook them for people sitting in the dining room, and it's good fish. So I like the Phoenix Grill, and I like the Tin Cup, and I like, Hilltop closed down, didn't it? They had good fish, but this is the best fish. You get a chance to go down there and do that. But Ching and I, we decided we need to get away. We get away. The weather's just gotten to us, and we wanted to get in the air-conditioned car and drive down there, and we had a good time. And if you need a getaway, that's a good place to go down in Shawnee National Forest area. But it's a good time. If you have your Bible, turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I wanted to say that to say this. I believe sometimes we get physically drained, but I also believe we get spiritually drained. And I also believe that sometimes being physically drained also contributes to spiritual drainness, and it can also be the opposite. You can be spiritually drained, and it will drain you physically as well. And we need to be very careful not to become spiritually drained. We started a new series a couple weeks ago entitled Passing the Baton. And one of the goals that I had for this series was to set the example for these young people sitting right here to take on the reins of the gospel and never give up. Amen. Never give up. Never give in. Always give fully to the work of the Lord and to His Word. And never let Satan keep you from His Word. Never let Satan keep you from praying. Never let Satan keep you from coming to church on a Sunday morning. Paul is writing to his young protege Timothy in 1st and 2nd Timothy, and we talked last week about how, or last week before that, how Timothy was timid. He struggled with shyness, and Paul is bold here. And he says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with careful instruction. I want to encourage these young kids today, and us adults as well, to stay strong, be bold. In the midst of a society that has gone south, and it has, we live in a world today that is all messed up. Amen? It's all messed up. And I feel sorry for these kids in grade school and high school and in college with all the bombardment of temptations that come their way with sex and alcohol and drugs. And I want you to know, if you're sitting here today and you're young, don't succumb to the temptation of those things, because those things are of the devil. And he wants you to do that. And no matter what's going on in your life right now, you stay strong to God, His Word, and the church. Let's begin reading with 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to start with verse 8, down through if you can find it. Paul says to Timothy, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I believe, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you have heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching. With faith and love in Jesus Christ, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Let me ask you this morning, as we talk about not being ashamed of the gospel, have you ever been ashamed of being a Christian? Have you ever been ashamed for sharing your faith with someone else? Have you ever been ashamed of carrying the Word of God to church, to school, and to work? For a short time, I worked for ADM, Archer Daniel Midland. And you all know that I hate it. I absolutely hate it. It was the worst time of my entire life. I didn't like going to work. I didn't like it when I was at work. I didn't like the people I worked with. I couldn't wait to get home. And one day I called them. I said, I want you to know I don't feel good. And I didn't. I was sick. And this is my last week. I'm done. Quit. They didn't ask why, because I think that everybody else hated it too. And they quit so much. But there's one thing that happened at ADM that I will never forget. On our lunch hour, or I can't remember how much it was, maybe it was 30-minute lunch break, there was a guy who always got his Bible, and he'd sit down on some pallets, and he would read God's Word every single day. And I was going through a point in my life where I wasn't quite as open with the Bible, and I didn't bring my Bible to work like he did, and I didn't sit there and read during my lunch hour the Bible, but he did. And you know what? I appreciate that. And I remember that, because I remember how bold he was at standing up for what was right. I want to encourage you to do something for me next week. Matter of fact, I want to start today. If you have your Bible, will you hold it up? Will you hold your Bible up? I'm not going to count, because I know a lot of people, they have their cell phones, and sometimes I carry my cell phone and I have the Bible app on my cell phone, and I can read it and I can listen to it. If I don't want to read, I can listen to it. But I want to encourage you, beginning next week, I want you to bring your Bible. How many of you don't have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, I'll get you a Bible. Carry your Bible with you next week, because here's the thing about carrying a Bible. Number one, you can't cheat. If I tell you to turn to Lamentations, you better know kind of where it's at. And number two, carrying your Bible is a testimony to the people around you. How many of you knew that? It's a testimony. Try carrying your Bible to work this week. Try carrying your Bible to school when it starts. Try carrying your Bible into Walmart. And I want you to know something. You're going to get some looks, and people are going to look at you, and they're going to think a couple things. Well, he's a Jesus freak. And if they listen to the podcast, they're going to know that the preacher put them up to it, and that's why they're carrying their Bible. But I want you to know something. We need to know that we're Christian, that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friends, there is nothing wrong with carrying your Bible around with you. Carry it with you. Wherever you go, carry it with you. And when everybody has a cell phone, hell, hold up your cell phone. Actually, don't do that, because I know everybody has one. And when you carry your cell phone around, people can't tell that you're a Christian. They can't tell that you are living and standing on the Word of God. My wife listens to Dottie Osteen, and whether you like her son or not, that's beside the point. But if you know anything about Dottie Osteen, Joel's mother, she's a wonderful person. Well, she was reading one time. She is a survivor of cancer as well. She wrote a book that is entitled, I Defeated Cancer. Is that what it's called? I Was Healed from Cancer. Get that book so that you'll know a little more about cancer, because we have some people going through that. And she actually put the Bible on the floor and stood on top of it. And she said, Lord, you told me to stand on your word. I'm standing on your word. And I thought that was the most awesome thing that I've ever heard. But she believed that this truly is the inspired Word of God. Do you believe it today? Do you believe this is the inspired Word of God? Did you know that this is the number one book that has ever been written? Even to this day, it's number one book. You want to know why? Because it's living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. I want to encourage you to bring it next week. We must not be ashamed of the gospel, ever. There's some other areas in our life that we should never be ashamed. I want you to write them down in your bulletins. If you have your bulletins, pull them out and follow along. First of all, we must never be ashamed of the person of Christ. Paul tells us And he tells his good friend Timothy in verse 8, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Friends, I want you to know there is a real temptation for us to be quiet about our faith in Jesus Christ. There is a real temptation for us to keep it to ourselves and not tell anyone. And Paul knew that Timothy struggled with timidity, and he knows that several of you, and myself, believe it or not, struggle somewhat with timidity. Anybody agree to that? You shy, a little bit shy? Two people? Three people? All right, get up here. I'll find out if you're shy or not. I'll let you sing a song, or I'll let you preach a sermon, and I'll find out if you're shy or not. But Paul knew that Timothy was timid, shy. He knows that many of us are timid and shy, and he tells him, don't be like that. Be willing to share the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and don't be timid about it. Don't be scared. Don't be shy. I would venture to say that most people in our world today struggle with timidity. As a matter of fact, one observer said that most people would rather die than stand up in front of people and give a public address. I think there's a lot of truth to that. But Paul says this should not be. Do not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 1:22, "Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God to the wisdom of God." To these Jews, Christ was a stumbling block because they expected a conquering king who would come and restore Israel, not someone who would forgive their sins. To the Greeks, Christ was a stumbling block because they could not accept someone who would die on a criminal cross for the sins of the world. But I want you to know he did. And he died for them, and he also died for us. As a stumbling block to the Jews and a stumbling block to the Gentiles and maybe a stumbling block to us at times. But I want you to know Christ is who he says he was. God's word is what he says it was and still is today. Not even Jesus' own disciples believed it at times. As a matter of fact, Peter denied Christ three times. Remember that? Judas denied him and never came back to faith and presumably probably went to hell. Jesus said this, it had been better for this man to never have been born. Guess what that means? That was a hell sentence. I want you to know when we have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ and we don't do it because we're ashamed or scared or timid, are we any different than they? Jesus said in Mark 8:38, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels." And if you think it's hard not to be ashamed of Christ in the first century generation, I want you to know it's also a shame for us. It's easy to be ashamed for us in our 21st century world. I see it all the day. I see people walking away from the faith. I see people not standing up for Christian values. Amen? I see them walking away and they're not being faithful. They are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The names Cassie Bernal and Valine Schnurr may not ring a bell to you. Does it ring a bell to anyone? They were the two girls that were shot by Eric Harris and Dylan Claiborne in 1999 when I first graduated from Johnson Bible College. Now, Valine Schnurr survived the shooting, but we all know that Cassie Bernal did not. She died for her faith in Jesus Christ. And those two boys, before they shot at these girls, asked them, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God?" And they said, "Yes, we do." And they pulled a gun and they killed one of them. The other one survived. Friends, I want you to know it's easy for us to come here on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock together and pronounce that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of a God, the Son of a living God, and His Word is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It's easy for us to do that because there's not anyone standing at the back of the door with a gun or a knife. But what about when we're in a situation where that does happen? What if someone were to come in here, heaven forbid, with a gun and say, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?" What are you going to say? I do. But you know what? I'd rather die admitting that Jesus is the Christ and going to heaven than denying him and going to hell, wouldn't you? Now, don't you think for a second that couldn't happen? Because it happened, I think it was in St. Louis, Missouri. A minister was preaching one Sunday morning and a guy came in there and he shot him dead. Right behind the pulpit. It can happen to me, it can happen to you, but you know what? We're just going to stand on Jesus' word. We're going to stand on the Bible. We're going to stand that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he died for our sins on the cross, and we profess that. Do not be ashamed. Number two, secondly, we should never be ashamed of the people of Christ. Look at verse 8 again. He says, "Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or about me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God." I think there were many Christians in that first century that were embarrassed because Paul was in prison. And most of his life he spent in prison. Many of the epistles that he wrote were written where? In prison. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. But I believe that there were a lot of people that were embarrassed that Paul was in prison. If you're a follower of God, why are you in this dungeon? Why are you in this prison? They had little faith. Matter of fact, he writes in verse 15, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus, Hermogenes. But may the Lord show mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains." And we know that Timothy and Barnabas and Silas and Priscilla and Aquila were a great help in Paul's ministry, especially during those later years of life, those prison years. But many of them abandoned him. They abandoned Paul because he stood up for their faith. I want to read something in Romans, and I encourage you to turn over there. Romans chapter 16. Forgive me on some of these names. Why these people name their kids these, I don't know. I am going to struggle right here. And I'm going to read down to verse 19. It says, "Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Phinetus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary," I got that one, "who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachius. Greet Apuleius, test and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the house of Aristobulus." How was that? "Greet Harmonian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus." That sounds bad, doesn't it? "Who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphenia and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus," name your kid that, "chosen the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also. Greet, Asyncritus and Philegon and Hermes and Patropus, Hermas," sorry, changed a little bit, "and the brothers with him. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another." Jerry, please don't say nothing. "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send their greetings." Forgive me for that. Why does Paul mention all these people? And why would you name your kids this anyway? But he writes them all down and he thanks them and he goes out of his way and he acknowledges them. Why does he do that? I think because it's a testimony to you and I. I could put some of your names in the Bible if I could, because of the witness that you've had for Jesus Christ. But I also want you to know that your names don't have to be written in here, because someday they're going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I think it's important that we thank one another. I think it's important that we acknowledge one another. I don't know about the holy kiss part, but we can hug one another. And Jerry tried to kiss me today, and I said, kiss me right here. You're not kissing me on the cheek or nothing. It's not going to happen. We encourage one another by encouraging other people. And I think it's important that we do it by names. And if I forget your name, forgive me. Because I can't remember my own name sometimes. Now, the next two blanks on your sheets, a little bit more personal. I want you to fill in someone that has been shameful to the gospel. Someone that started out well, but he finished terribly. I'm not going to mention his name, but he was a professor at one of our Bible colleges. I've heard, I don't know for sure, so I want to make that a point. I have heard that he walked away from being a professor, and he walked away from Jesus Christ. Now, how can you be a professor at a Christian college and walk away from your faith, and walk away from the Bible, and walk away from Jesus Christ? How can you do that after you've started the race? Well, you can come up with all kinds of things. Let me make it very simple for you. It's the devil. And I want you to know today that I have known a lot of people who started out well, but they allowed the devil to get inside of their life, and he destroyed them. And he destroyed their family. And a lot of times, get this, sometimes he destroys a church. I didn't say the church. The church will never be destroyed. But sometimes he destroys these small churches that are struggling anyway. Why do they quit? It's the devil. Amen? It's the devil. And they just give up. And not only do they walk away from the church, they also walk away from Christ. But then there are people that we are glad to say they've continued to run this great race. The other day I had a minister friend speak, and you guys enjoyed his message. But what you may not have known about him is his wife walked away from him, and he's battled cancer 2 different times, and he's doing great now. He is an inspiration to me about someone who never quit. Someone who was never ashamed of the gospel. And can I get an amen? He was a great preacher. I think he's a great preacher because of the difficult things that have happened to him in life. Friends, I want you to know today that you can become better, you can become bitter. It's easy to become bitter. It's easy for you to walk away from your faith. It's easy for you to walk away from the Word. It's easy for you to walk away from the church. But don't do that. Don't ever allow the devil to pull you away from Christ and His church. And I want to say something to many of you who are here today, and you who are listening online. You have been an inspiration to my wife and I as we go through this cancer journey. We thank you and we love you, and I want you to know we appreciate you. And if I were to fall over dead today, heaven forbid that don't happen, I would take my last breath thanking you for what you've done for us. Amen? We are making it through prayer and through the inspiration of God's Word and through the worship and gathering together of the saints on Sunday morning, and we appreciate the love, the prayers, and generosity that will never be forgiven. Do not be ashamed. Number 3. Not only should we not be ashamed of the person of Christ or the people of Christ, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Why not? Well, let's read the rest of that again. He says in verse 8, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, ashamed of me as prisoner, but join with me in the suffering of the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us, called us to holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I am appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed. Read it with me. Because I know whom I believed, am I convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him on that day. What you have heard from me, keep it as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Jesus Christ. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Today, as you pray, begin to pray in the Spirit. How many of you do that? You probably don't. And I don't either. Nothing like I should. When you say a prayer, when you offer a prayer, when you bow on your knees, wherever you go to pray, pray in the Spirit. Because if you don't have the Spirit in you, you're in trouble. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to have a hard time coming off of your lips if the Holy Spirit is not nudging you to go and do it. Well, there's some things we need to know about the gospel. Fill in the blanks. Christ's gospel is a message of grace. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For as by grace you've been saved through faith, not from yourselves, a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." I want you to know this morning, I am not standing up here because I'm good. And don't make any comments. But I am standing up here this morning because of the grace of God. I do not deserve to be up here. No one else deserves to be up here. It is by the grace that comes only through Jesus Christ. I also want you to know today, you do not deserve to be sitting in those pews. And I don't care if you paid for those pews or not. And I don't care if you give enough money to the church to take all the pews out and put chairs in. You do not deserve to be sitting in that pew. It is only by God's grace that you're here today. Someone has made an acronym, G-R-A-C-E, God's Righteousness at Christ's Expense. And that's great. I like that one. But here's what I think about grace. Something good that I don't deserve. Something good that I don't deserve. What Jesus Christ did for you over 2,000 years ago, and what Jesus did for me over 2,000 years ago, I do not deserve it. You know what I deserve? I deserve hell, and so do you. It is only by the grace of God that we are here today. It is only by the grace of God that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is only by the grace of God that we believe that this is God's inspired word. It is only by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Something else about the gospel we need to remember, write it down. Christ's gospel is a message of everlastingness. I gave that word to Sherry, and she didn't put a big enough blank for you there, did she? Everlastingness. Eternity. I think a lot of times when we go through our world, we don't think in terms of eternity. We think in terms of the right here and the right now. Gotta have it. Gotta have it now. I'm not worried about the future. I'm expendable. I'm going to go on forever and ever. I don't think that I could ever get sick, but I want you to know you can get sick tomorrow. And those things, those houses, those cars, those diamonds, they're nothing. I have a friend that passed away not too long ago, and they have had four auctions. Four. And I told his son, I said, "I have never seen so much stuff in my life." And he said it. He's a Christian too. He said, "It just goes to show that you can't take it with you." I like to drive Ford vehicles, you know that. I like to drive green tractors, amen, John. I like all that stuff. But you know what? When I stand before God, I'm not taking anything with me. Here's what we do take with us, though. An eternal home in heaven that no one will ever take away. Jesus said in John 11, 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." He's talking about eternal death here. And we may all die once. We've had many of friends and family die. We had some die this week. But I want you to know, if they're a Christian, that's the only death they'll ever experience. They'll never experience the eternal death because they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They were baptized into Him, and today they are in heaven with Him. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I love what C.S. Lewis wrote. If you aim at heaven, you get earth and heaven thrown in together, but if you aim only at earth, you get neither one. I think he's right. Friends, this world is not our home. We're only passing through. Our burdens are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Number three, Christ's gospel is a message of responsibility. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, just before leaving earth, go to all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as His as a reward. It's the Lord Christ that you are serving. 2 Corinthians 5:10 reminds us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Friends, we have been saved by grace, so that is a reason to testify. Can I say that again? We have been saved by grace, so we have a reason to testify. Don't be afraid to testify about our Lord. When I look at our world today, I want you to know they're not afraid at all to testify on TV about their sin. I don't like Ellen DeGeneres. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't like her. I'm not going to pick out all these sins that they broadcast on TV. I do like to say I like the Game Show Network. Anyone else? I can tell I'm getting older because I like the Game Show Network, and I'm starting to think about watching Gunsmoke on TV. So I know I'm getting older. But here's the deal. When Hallmark can broadcast all these sins, that's wrong. When we can allow these sinful things going on TV to bombard our television set, that's wrong. Now, when commercials, I don't listen to much radio. Anyone listen to a lot of radio? I don't know what's going across the radio waves. But I want you to know, when they can testify and say that this sin is okay, that's terrible. And I want you to know today that as strong as they are and as bold as they are for their sin, we need to be that much bolder for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be heard. TV needs to know that we stand up for Jesus Christ. We won't tolerate sin. Hallmark needs to know that we serve a risen Savior, and He's not going to tolerate sin in this century, no more than He tolerated sin in any century before us. We need to stand up for what's right. We need to be bold about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a sin in the Old Testament is a sin in the New Testament. And it doesn't change. Starting today, be bold about what you believe. Stand up for what's right, even though it's not popular. And be faithful unto death. And I promise you, you'll receive a great reward. Let me close by telling you about an old hillbilly farm boy who made his way to church one Sunday morning. He was so turned on by what he heard from the gospel, from the minister after sermon, he said, "Great sermon, preacher. I realize I've been neglecting the Great Commission of Christ. Please give me something to do." The preacher was hesitant for a while because this man was rough around the collar. He was crude, and the preacher decided he was going to take a chance on this man. So he gave him a list of 10 people that had not been in church for about 5 years now. Well, they came. Including a bank president had not been there for 5 years. After the sermon was over, the preacher approached the young redneck hillbilly and he asked, "What did you do?" He said, "Well, I just wrote a letter to them all. And preacher, I signed your name at the bottom of the letter because I thought your name would carry more weight than what my name would." Shortly after the man had exited the building, the bank president approached the minister who had not been there for 5 years. He said, "Preacher, I want to thank you for sending me the letter you sent me last week. It really meant a lot to me, and I know that I haven't been tithing like I'm supposed to. I'm going to tithe all the back things I owe you for the last 5 years. And I'm even going to bring my family to church. And oh yeah, preacher, there's only one T in dirty, and there's not a C in the word skunk. You'll get it on the way home." Today, when you leave this building this morning, I want you to be bold. I want you to not be ashamed to testify that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want you to testify that God's Word is living and active just like it was in the first century. It's alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. Friends, I want you to know today is the day of salvation. you're here this morning, you've never confessed Jesus to be Lord of your life, you've never repented of your sins, you've never been buried in the watery graves of Christian baptism. We try to do a good job here at Central, keeping the water warm so you don't have to chill yourself to death. We try to make it as easy as we can for you to come to Christ. And maybe you've been here several times, but you've kind of been ashamed of the gospel. You're already a Christian, but you can do a lot better. I want you to know that the gospel is for all of us. The invitation is for all of us, whether we've been a Christian for 50 years or 5 or maybe even today. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the only way we can be saved. Let's pray today. Father, this world tries to offer us a lot of stuff, but when it ignores the Bible, it falls short of what we have to do to be saved. Lord, help every person in here not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of salvation. Lord, we thank you for what Jesus did for us on the cross over 2,000 years ago. Because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here. But his grace is sufficient for us. And we accept that today, Lord. And we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord, if there's someone here today who needs to be baptized, I'd be happy to do it. Because only through the waters can we ever get to heaven. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray.